What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Mullin It Over podcast. I am your host, Blake Mullin. With me today, as I promised, new face on the show. Going to try to keep getting all the guys in, see how long they'll deal with me. But this week, the victim, Brian Clinton, the man himself. Brian, how are you doing, man? Thank you for coming on.
Doing good. Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, last time we had Jesse, had Brody, had the entire team. They basically said they're never coming back. They've actually blocked me on iMessage and everything after it. So we will see if I can keep the hot streak going. You were kind of sent to the slaughterhouse with this one. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's the unlucky draw, I guess, having to come onto this show.
Nah, it's good, man. I deal with Jesse on a weekly basis over on Oklahoma Drill, so I think we'll be all right. I appreciate you having me on, man. It's always good to talk Sooners football. I mean, that's what we do, so all about it.
Absolutely, man. And what a time to talk about it, right? SEC, the transitioning, obviously spring game coming up next weekend. So, I mean, that's what everybody is talking about right now. So let's just dive into it. I mean, spring practices, they've been going on now for just over 6 weeks. Which players have kind of stood out to you just through the early portion? Obviously, there's a lot of season and off season to come, but what has kind of stood out to you, and who are those people?
So I'll try to keep this rapid fire, because there's several. The first one would be Jaden Jackson. I think he's probably been like the biggest standout, at least for my take. It's not very often that you see a freshman come in and not only play a significant role in defensive line, but I have witnessed on multiple occasions his technique being used as the teaching tape, essentially, for the other guys in the room with Todd Bates running them through drills, which is just unheard of. And so he's very technically sound. He's looked really, really good. Another guy that has stood out for me on the interior is Grayson Halton. He's looked really good. Looked like he's taken a good step. We saw some flashes last year, a little inconsistent, but this spring he's looked a lot better. David Stone's going to come along. That's a guy that I absolutely I expect him to be another player on a totally different level come fall camp, just because what he lacks right now is just it's experience and it's his technical game. As far as the intangibles go, he's got it. So for the defensive line, that would be those guys. Wide receiver as a whole has really stood out. Jesse and I spoke about this in this week's podcast, where, I mean, what do you do when Andrell Anthony comes back and is healthy with the room? Because there's just so many guys that are going to be vying for playing time, because the room is stacked at this point. Deion Burks is the guy that's had probably the most talk this spring. But, you know, a guy that I've been pulling for him, but also am excited to see him taking the opportunity is Jaden Gibson. He has really taken this opportunity of Nick Anderson being down and out for spring for this time, and he's run with it. He's looked very, very good. He's looked fast. His route running has been crisp, and he's been an explosive player down the field for the Sooners. And that's been not only from something I've seen, but from what we've heard out of the scrimmages. So another big time role I'm hoping for him. Another guy, and this is kind of a twofold. Whenever I walked in for the first open practice, Caleb Hicks just like jumped off the field at me. Like, I was like, holy cow, like that kid, he looks like the best running back you've got. I know Gavin Sawchuk probably owns that role right now, but that RB2 battle is going to be really interesting. And I think Caleb Hicks is a kid that could certainly play a major role there. Not only does he look the part physically, he's so explosive, but I think his physicality in the running game has been much improved this year. And then the last guy I'll stick with, and this is a unit that it has been much maligned by the Oklahoma fans to this point and been scared about, and that's the offensive line. But Fabechi Wiwu is a certified stud. That guy is a dude. I don't know how he fell to, and no offense to North Texas, but how he fell to North Texas and a walk-on at that at North Texas is just beside me. I have no idea how a guy like that falls through the cracks, because he might be pound for pound one of the strongest guys on the team, if not the strongest guy on the team. He handles those interior defensive linemen and one-on-ones pretty well. I mean, as well as anybody as I've seen. And there's really no doubt right now. He's the best piece you have on the offensive line, and it's probably by a pretty wide margin. So, yeah, there's several other guys I could point to, but those have been the ones for me.
For me, just even going back to two guys you just mentioned. First off, David Stone, right? You sometimes see five stars have a sense of entitlement, everything else, and ego with them. Brent Venables has been on record saying nobody works harder, nobody's more humble, just going on and on about his work ethic. That has to open up eyes in such a positive way. Because if you followed his recruitment, you could probably tell, okay, he has a chip on his shoulder despite being a unanimous five star, despite being one of the best defensive linemen in the class. He still has that drive. He isn't done, right? He wasn't just happy with the five star. He wants to be more. So even hearing Venables come out and talk more and more about that, the entire staff really, every time they get the chance, applauding what he's doing, that's awesome to see. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I want to go back to something you mentioned. You talked about the wide receiver room. After the loss against Arizona, I was on with Brandon. Brandon and I were talking about the future of the Sooners, everything else. One thing I said to him then is that a lot of people aren't talking about it, but with Nick Anderson, obviously only going to get better, you would assume, as well as Andrell Anthony only coming back healthy, and then the acquisition of Deion Burks, there is a real chance this OU wide receiver room is top five in the nation from top to bottom. I think it's a fair argument that you could say it's top five. As well as it's the best in Norman since, I don't know. You tell me. When have you
Probably,
seen an OU room this loaded from top to bottom?
yeah. Top to bottom, it would be tough. I mean, I kind of have to go back to that CeeDee Lamb, Hollywood Brown. But I mean, we're talking about two guys that are still
Two first
playing
round
big time
picks.
in, yeah, I mean, big time NFL football. So, yeah, that room is loaded. And you're right. I mean, I have a hard time really looking at rosters across the country. And outside of a Texas or a Washington or whoever, I mean, maybe Alabama, it's really tough to see off some offensive rosters that have the pass catchers that Oklahoma does. And that's without even talking about what Oklahoma has in Bauer Sharpe. So he's just going to add to that. And yeah, I think there will be no shortage of weapons for Jackson Arnold. It's just a matter of getting him the time to get the ball distributed.
And you just touched on Bauer Sharpe, which kind of just segues perfectly into the next question. I don't know what you're going to say, but I have a decent guess. Let's talk about some breakout candidates. Well, obviously, we are months away from even the first game. Now, a Friday night under the lights game, right? You love to see that. Or maybe you hate it. I don't know. It depends on your stance on it. There's a little bit of controversy surrounding that one.
Yeah, I as a former high school coach, Friday nights are it's special for high school kids, but I also think in this instance, it's been so stinking hot in the afternoon games in August, so I think this is a win-win. And you've given high schools in the area enough time to make some plans, make changes. I just as long as it doesn't become a fixture. I think it's fine. But yeah, I think the season opener being on Friday night is nice. It's going to be fun.
What I've been told by a few sources on this is it's not necessarily even obviously the heat and everything, right? The afternoon August games that plays a role into it, but also there was a sense of wanting to kind of jump out and be the first SEC team to play, right? To kick off the new year. And that's where that is where this was surrounded more than anything else, is saying, hey, first year in the SEC, let's go ahead and kick it off literally and be the first team to headline it. But back to what I was asking. Talking about breakouts, obviously, once again, we're talking about August, September, October, November. We are a long way from this. If we jump to December, though, Give me one offensive breakout player and one defensive breakout player. Who are we going to be talking about then that we might not be now?
Well, I mean, Bauer Sharp is the guy. I think a lot of people are starting to catch on with him. So you could go Bauer Sharp or Gibson, but I'm gonna go Sharp. I just think the guy brings everything to the table that you need to be a modern tight end. Now that's not to say he isn't a guy that is going to get dirty and get in the trenches and put his helmet in there and block some guys. That's he absolutely will. I think he's very willing to do that, and he's shown that in spring to this point. And I admire the way that he kind of plays that role. But where he really stands out is in open space. He is guys of his size. He's 6'5", 250 pounds. They're just not supposed to move like that. And he does. He has a very fluid, athletic build, and how he moves in open space. It reminds you of some dangerous tight ends that Oklahoma's had in the past. You know, think back to the early days of what we saw from Grant Calcaterra before the injury. Or, you know, I think he has the tools to be the best tight end that Oklahoma's had since Mark Andrews. Like, I mean, very, very easily. He's got everything that you need there. I think he's a more athletic version of what we saw from Braden Willis. I think he's got more like a higher end athletic build. But the other thing is, the guy's a former quarterback, so like he gets spacing. He gets finding a spot in the zone that's weak. He knows that, he understands those things like the back of his hand. So I think that plays a really big role. And if that's something that you believe is under or is overvalued, I mean, just look back to what Drake Stoops did all season last year. He found spots in the zone because he had seen it so many times. And I think that's going to be such a big thing for Oklahoma. On top of that, with all of the receiving options that Oklahoma's going to have, and you have a young quarterback in Jackson Arnold, a tight end, a big target to throw at is going to be nice. And I think he provides that. Defensively, I'm going to let you roll with the one that I had picked, because that is, and for the same reason. But I'll let you go that direction. My breakout for the defensive side of the ball is probably got to be either Jaden Jackson, which I've already talked at length about, or probably Des Malone. Des Malone has really impressed me and several parts of the Oklahoma staff, just with the experience that he brings in. But he's extremely competitive. He's got great size at the position. But I think what really stands out about him is he's like that prototypical guy to jump in front and at the front of the line, and isn't afraid to go one-on-one against anybody, and is willing to just jump out there and do it. And I love that about a player, especially somebody that's playing under Brent Venables. I think you have to have that kind of mentality to be successful. And he's a guy that has kind of jumped off the page. I would not be surprised at all if he is able to maybe lock up one of those corner spots and allow Woody Washington to maybe move inside and play a little bit more of a nickel role. And if Oklahoma is able to do that, it obviously it heightens the level at which they can play defense. So, really like him. Another guy to watch out for is Lewis Carter. I mean, the guy just brings the wood. He's going to be so much fun to watch, whenever he does get a bigger role. But yeah, those would be my guys for now. And, I'm ready to hear what you've got to say on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, first I want to touch on Des Malone. I'm right there with you. I think he is going to be an absolute star. We talk about the OU defense, right? They are loaded at defensive back. They have a ton of players who have that level of potential of maybe, hey, you know, this guy, he could be a star. He just needs to find the right role, find the time. Woody Washington, not that he needs the stardom, But as you said, if they were able to move him into more of a nickel role, maybe move Billy around a little bit. He had talked about how he has never seen OU have this many DBs, right? We've heard it from the players, and they're realizing, wow, we are deep. I think Des Malone, I think he just adds that. He and Gentry on the outside, that could be a very, very, very good duo at the perimeter corner position. So I don't know. That would be very interesting. But for me, you know who I'm going to talk about here. Desan McCullough. Trace Ford talked about, he gave us a spoiler, right? He gave us a spoiler in his interview with Toby Rowland, just talking about how he's going to break out. He's going to be the guy. And I can definitely see that. I mean, I even remember, here's a funny story for you, but I had a class with Desan during my last semester at OU. Even then, he was talking about how he was getting lost on campus, getting lost here and there, like just the funny stuff, as you would expect from a transfer. I say that to say, it's kind of expected for him to maybe be sort of confused in the scheme and stuff. And we saw that at times during the season. He had his moments of, oh my goodness, he is going to be a star. Look at the Texas game. But there were also the times where he was being taken off the field just for maybe simply not understanding the role. I think with another year in the Brent Venables scheme, another year of hands-on work with him, I think the sky is the limit. I mean, he has all, he fits every description that you're looking for when you're saying, hey, an NFL talent, you look at him. He's the first person that I look at on that OU defense. He has the size, he definitely has the speed, and he definitely has the length. He can play, he can be your primary pass rusher. He can also be an incredibly good cheetah if that's where they decide to use him. I mean, he is just as versatile as it gets. When he came here, everybody was talking about the Isaiah Simmons role, right? He has maybe not the Isaiah Simmons upside. We're talking about a top eight pick in the draft, but he could easily make that type of step to being one of the best defensive players in the SEC next season. As far as offense, I'm about to give you the biggest chalkboard answer of them all. Deion Burks, right? Talking about transfers, I mean, he is the easiest guy to look at. I've seen some people say, I wonder if he starts. Man, watch his film from last season, the year before. He is a highlight reel. He has the ball skills. He has the route running. He has the speed. He is an incredible wide receiver. He is going to make it very, very, very easy for Jackson Arnold next season. I get the loss of Drake Stoops, but with that, you are creating a ton of opportunities for maybe Jahlil Farouk to move more into the slot. Deion Burks, maybe a slot receiver. We'll see where they line him up. But there are so many opportunities at that wide receiver room. I just think Deion Burks, I mean, I think he is set up easily to be an elite wide receiver one, but also back to the depth of the position. Teams won't be able to just double him. If he gets to that level, that pedigree of guy, you can't double him. OU has too many options. As you were talking about with Bowers Sharp too, when I did an interview with him, he was talking about how he used to play quarterback. So it helps him read and run routes and stuff. It's just, they are absolutely loaded at pass catcher. But I want to hear you talk about Desan McCullough for a little bit, because I know I stole your answer there. What are your thoughts? I think you're in agreement with me on he's the guy who should break out this season.
Yeah, I think really, so we've seen him running at will, linebacker. Which is interesting. It's moving him inside, but I think it honestly fits what you have with him a little more. I think it almost opens him up to be more of a factor than he was last year. A lot of that had to do with him just being injured and dealing with injuries. But at will, he is going to be one of those guys that Oklahoma looks to make plays in open space. And with his length, with what he brings to the table athleticism wise, that's exactly what you want. Him alongside Danny Stutzman is it's a terrifying thing to look at if you're the opposition. And I really like what moving him inside to Will brings as far as him being a pass rusher, because as you mentioned, that's what he really built his mold or built his branding on it at Indiana before he came to
What he
Norman.
was.
That, yeah, we saw him really just get after the quarterback. And so, especially with Oklahoma still trying to have an elite pass rusher and PJ Adebore and having those guys really come along at the edge, I think it's a big, big benefit to have him closer to the ball and allowing him to be in a position where he can get after the quarterback some. So I really like that. I just can't wait to see what he brings to the table, because the one knock on him last year was some of his struggles in coverage. He's never been asked to play open coverage on a slot receiver. So that was tough for him at times, and I think we're seeing him in a role where that won't be asked of him nearly as often. So I really do think he's got an opportunity to expand. And then just to add on the note that you had there on Burks, he has been lining up primarily in the slot. So this is a guy that's going to fill in almost exactly with what you had with Drake Stoops. No, he doesn't bring the same level of familiarity or leadership, just from an aspect of knowing everybody on the team for being there for 6 years. He doesn't have that. He just hasn't been here. But what he brings to the table athletically is well far and beyond what we saw from Drake Stoops. I mean, we're talking about a guy that something that Drake maybe turned into 10 yards because he was exceptional at making the most out of every moment. If you give Burks that much space, he's liable to go to the house. That's just the kind of athlete he is. So, really, really excited. I think you nailed it on the breakout guys for sure.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you even just talk about Deion Burks, like you said. That's the incredible thing to me about him is that in open field, oh, he's a nightmare. He is
Yeah.
an absolute nightmare. And OU next season, they have a lot of those guys. They have so many jets who can come around. I don't know. I know a lot of OU fans have sort of a level of PTSD with handing the ball to wide receivers right now. But jet sweeps and stuff, they're going to be able to get Seth Luttrell's going to be able to get a little tricky with that offense just because of the speed that he's going to have at wide receiver. But let's stay on the offense right now. Jackson Arnold. We've talked about everything he has around him. We've talked about how Fabecchi's going to come in and be likely a stud on that offensive line to fill a much needed hole. Where does Jackson Arnold sit right now? Where is he to you? I mean, we talk about spring game and he is QB1. We are officially in the Jackson Arnold era. What has he shown you so far in this early portion?
So I want to preface by saying a lot of the things that we've been able to sit and watch is him throwing on air or in a 7-on-7 situation, which, I mean, of course, he's going to dominate those things because he has elite arm talent. I mean, he makes the throw. He makes every throw that you want a future NFL quarterback to make. He can make the deep outs. He can throw your deep crossing routes. He can throw a post and lead a guy straight into the end. He does all those things well. I think what is interesting about his current situation or what I have seen from him that probably stands out the most is how quickly he has taken to this leadership role. He has stepped right in as the team's unquestioned leader. And I love that. As a sophomore, we asked him about it during some media availability, and he's like, yeah, of course. It was uncomfortable at first. These are a bunch of college dudes. I've been in this role in high school, but walking into a room essentially with grown men, it's kind of difficult to make that transition. But he has made it and has done a good job. He's been more vocal, and really interested to see how that role expands for him. Just as far as how he's playing, there's been up and downs. As at least from what we've heard and what we've seen, there's been really, really good stuff. There's been some learning stuff, but he has made a huge focus on taking care of the football. I think he has taken that away after his performance in the Alamo Bowl. There were some really good things there, but obviously you can't turn the ball over the way that he did, and he knows that. And I think that's been a really big focus for him this season. So really, what it's gonna what we have heard has been, the offensive line against the first team defensive line, it's been a struggle to keep him clean. Obviously they're not lighting him up. That's not how spring ball works, but keeping him without any pressure has been somewhat difficult at times. And I think that that's not just a That I'm not reprimanding the offensive line for that only. I'm saying that this might be the best defensive line Oklahoma's had in a long time. I mean, since Jordan Phillip days. So you're looking at a good defensive line and an offensive line that's still trying to figure it out. So As far as his personal development, I think it's still a work in progress. I think he's doing a great job as a leader. I think he has cleaned up a lot of things, just scheme-wise, and things have been simplified a little bit for him. But you know, a quarterback's really only as good as his offensive line, and we've yet to see things come together there. So we'll just have to see how things roll.
And that's what I was going to go with as well, pretty much, is just we have heard good, we've heard some expected bad, right, as the new guy. But the biggest thing right now is just the leadership. He has kind of owned that this is my team. I am the leader of this team. These guys are going to follow me and stick with me no matter what. He has owned that role. And that's the biggest thing right now, right? He has the talent to be your next first round pick at Oklahoma. He has the talent to make all the throws, as you've said. In the 7-on-7s, you just watch the highlights. He's as good as it gets. He can make any throw that you need him to make. But the offensive line, it can be a quarterback's downfall at times. We even saw that with Spencer Rattler at his last year here, right? Same deal. He could make any throw, but the offensive line never gave him any time. I'm not comparing the situations to that extent, right? Because we're only 4 months away from the Alamo Bowl, or removed from it, I should say. So there's still a lot of time for the offensive line to grow, but that is the obvious concern. Lucky for him is that he has a lot of wide receivers and a very good running back room to where if he needs to get the ball out quick, he has the players to do it. He has the players to where Seth Luttrell and company can get very creative on offense, how to make better and easier reads for him right out of the gate. And then also you look at the OU schedule starting it. Pretty easy games up until that Tennessee matchup, right? Then obviously Auburn after that, you get kind of into the gauntlet of the schedule. But the first three, four games should be easier tasks for him. So Sooner fans should be hoping that that's kind of more of a grooming process, right? Getting the kinks out of it all and really getting it fixed up. But the first game we have, the game coming up next week, and it's the game everybody's wanting us to talk about right now, spring game. What are you looking to see? What do you expect to see from it?
Got to watch the offensive line. Like that's number one, A two, number one, A one B, number two. Like that's really where my focus is going to lie. I've seen what I've needed to see from the skill positions. I think Oklahoma is going to be very, very deep at the skill spots on the offensive side of the ball. I need to see the offensive line take some steps. And look, there's good pieces there. I do like what Heath Ozida has looked like to this point. I know what we can see from Jacob Sexton. Jake Taylor has made some strides, and it looks right now like he's that starting right tackle. So, you know, there are some pieces coming together. It's got to continue to improve. At center, it's really tough to lose Troy Everett. Like it's just a, that's a, that's a kick in the pants. Like there's no way around it. That's like the one guy that you probably can't lose. He was the most experienced starter you had. So that's tough, but on the offensive side of the ball, it's definitely the offensive line. Defensively, we need to see somebody emerge at the edge. It's not something that a lot of people are talking about. You know, we see a lot of improvement there, obviously, with what they have with PJ, with R. Mason Thomas. You know, Ethan Downs is we know exactly what we're getting from him. Caden Woolard is really good at it was really good at Miami, Ohio. Does it translate? We'll just have to see. But somebody in that room needs to become the pass rusher, needs to become the guy that can get after offensive tackles in the SEC. So I'm really looking for those two things in the spring game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the secondary, right? We've talked a lot about how the offense has a million weapons, right? I want to see how the secondary matches up. I want to see Des Malone. I want to see that entire unit. We've heard a ton about the secondary might be deeper than ever. The secondary, a ton of returning starters. We know all this. Let's see it on the field, right? That's the biggest thing for me is that I want to see how the secondary matches up against what we think will be a very fun Oklahoma offense to watch next season. But hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Brian, thank you for being here. Hopefully, didn't go bad enough for you to block me on iMessage after. Did we
We'll
survive
see,
that?
man. We'll have to
We'll see.
see.
Oh, hey, if you can deal with Jesse, surely you can deal with me,
Yeah,
right?
man. You're good. I'm glad you had me on. It was fun talking.
Well, hey, once again, man, thank you for coming on. And if you haven't subscribed to OU Insider, What are we doing? It's $7, $8 a month. Go click the subscribe button. Best notes, best team out there. Be sure to go drop us a subscription on the YouTube as well as Spotify as well, please. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Peace out, everybody. Perfect.
Good
I had
stuff.
a I was gonna go on a little bit longer, but I have poor man Zoom, so
You're good, man.
have the 45-minute timer, and I know
Yeah.
it kind of keeps me keeps it to where I can't let Spencer kill me afterwards for having an hour and a half long podcast.
There you
So
go. That's a good thing.
it it it